Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talk cast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either dial on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. And search for Call ID 17702, or you can listen to us on the YouTube live stream. Check the many things for that, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or the Starfleet Games discussion board. Either one, any of those will have the link for that. Also, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That is sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGames. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account there for the podcast is sfuoncall. My personal account actually is Paul Franz. That's PaulFranz. And my tertiary account for Franz Games, that is for all the wonderful things that I do when it comes to the gaming. That's Franz Games, FranzGames. And of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned to a podcast and available on iTunes and various feeds around the net. A quick reminder, and that is, I know I have not posted this earlier, but I need to remind you now, which is next week, that is October 11th, there will be no podcast. I will be on a retreat. So, I will not be doing a podcast. Big surprise. I don't plan on doing pre-recorded stuff or anything like that at the moment. If I do something like that, you'll definitely see it on the feed before that weekend, because I have to leave on Thursday and I will be gone for a good bit. But in the meantime, onward to the news from A to B. Steve Cole has been busy working on Cabal's Log number 53 and different other projects. Steve Pedrick has been working on SFB updates, also the Gorn Master Starship book. And Gene busy working on, of course, Facebook, uploading all those ships so that you can see and buy the latest minis, because it is, what is it, the first week of October. So that means that this week we're going to do a quick review of the Shapeways, especially those that Gene has just uploaded the past week. And of course, he did proofreading a part of Communique number 154. So keep an eye out for the latest edition of the Communique. Moving onward to the SFB Online tournaments, we have, of course, Master 2018 tournament run by Andrew Koch. We're kind of stuck. I haven't heard anything from the other people. Hopefully, we will see more on that when it comes to Rat 48. Again, I haven't seen any progress. Haven't seen any people online, of course, haven't been keeping close eye on it, but hopefully we can get some more progress there. Also, if you are near Schenectady, New York, they are having, of course, a Council of Five Nations. That is starting tomorrow. They actually have something happening tonight on Thursday, but you shouldn't have to worry about that. It's just a gathering. You know, there's like eight currently SFB people going out for dinner, and they're just going to sit and chat and talk about Starfleet battles, which actually that would be great. But if you're hearing this, well, you probably already missed it. But they're still having the running tournament starting tomorrow, the 5th, all the way through the 7th. So if you're going to be near Schenectady, or if you're going or haven't decided and you want to go, you still have time to make it. It's going to be connected in New York in the Proctor's Theater and Conference Center. So that's Schenectady, New York, has zip code of 12305. And at this point, I think it's kind of pointless to try to go to the website. I would just, if you want to go, you can check the website. It's www.swa-gaming.org/star-trek-star-fleet-games-at-that-council. That's all capitalized properly, too. If you can follow that, good for you. If not, you can also go to the Starfleet Games discussion board. There is a post there, so you can find the actual link a little more quicker. Just remind you about that. So if you want to, you can still go. Please do. Moving forward to Starfleet Warlord, I actually, this past weekend, one thing I was focusing on this past weekend is the Starfleet Warlord aid. There have been many bugs issued about the aid, especially considering that there's, you know, one of the reasons why you use the aid is, of course, to validate the order so that if you enter an order incorrectly, you can fix it, just like it validates your movement. For the most part, there are certain things that of course, it cannot handle just because it doesn't know about them, i.e. Stargates. Where you enter in a Stargate and you go to some, then you're located to another location. The actual aid doesn't know about those locations. As is, I have to, at some point I actually would like to add that, but that currently is not in there. So just keep an eye on that. Unfortunately, when it comes to library report, there's still no progress, as there has not been progress for the past few months. Complete conversion is still 2,426, yet to be converted 906. That means percentage complete is still stuck at 72.8%. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we have me, we actually have Matt Lawson, we have Russ, we have Dave. It's a party! Woo! Okay, tonight, what we're going to start off with is, the first topic for this evening will be, and that is Shapeways Miniatures. I'm just a reminder for those listening, I'm sure you've already heard this on the news portion, but I'm just going to repeat it so that you will remember, which is next week we will not have a podcast. So don't worry. Don't be concerned that if you don't get a podcast in the feed next week, that's because I'm not doing one because I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be on a retreat of sorts, a retreat, you know, an actual normal retreat, you know. Getting close to God, that whole kind of thing. So, given that the case, enjoy this one, and that means we'll just have one less for the month, which is fine. But moving onward and forward. With that, we will move onward to the Shapeways Miniatures. And we have quite a few of them for this month. Just a quick overview from ADB, and that is, mentions that the Federation gains its War Destroyer, both the regular and the classic. Klingons get their G2 police cutter and the E3 escort. The Romulans have the Fast Sparrowhawk and Fast Sparrowhawk Plus light cruisers, as well as the Screech Owl Heavy Scout, which actually is quite cool. And of course, you guys know me. I like... I'll get to that later. I'm sorry. I'm already starting going through that. The Tholians gain a new Neo-Tholian battleship and light tactical transport. That actually is quite cool. Also, they added a 3125 scale cargo patrol corvette, which in my mind is kind of weird. But anyhow, going to have a battle destroyer scout. Also, the G7 fighter. The Zinni's got the heavy war destroyer, also the large attack, fast attack shuttle killer, and the heavy bomber, both in Omni scales. On the end, 285 scale, sorry. Pirates get a double raider, salvage cruiser, and heavy cruiser. Awesome. Illyrians and LDR get a mount, the mountain lion, which, okay, I'll let you see that in just a bit, and you'll it's kind of weird. Hydrogens get the caravan tug with tug pallets, with the cargo pallets, and the battle tug. The IC get their destroyer, light cruiser, and star cruiser, which is, of course, their heavy, for those of the in the know who know Starfleet battles, know that that is their heavy cruiser. And many empires get scatter pack shuttles, and the empires from the Omega Octant, we have new additions. The Warp are introducing their heavy cruiser and heavy destroyer. And also, there's ancient male and female space dragons. I'm not sure what the difference will be. I'm not sure that the miniatures are anatomically correct. I'm not sure we want them to be anatomically correct, because this is family-friendly. This is a family-friendly game. It's like, Mommy, Daddy, what is that? I don't think we want to go there, do we? So, onward and forward. Oh, man. Come on, cults. I can't believe I'm saying that. I'm sorry, just a minor sidetrack, which is the football for Thursday night. The Patriots are currently winning, beating the Colts 21-3 at almost halftime, which overall sucks. Oh, baseball. Dodgers are beating the Braves 4-0 on the bottom of the third. And does this surprise anybody? Thank you, Dave, for the baseball score, because of I'm a baseball fan. You know, at the moment, everyone expects the Dodgers to beat the Braves. That's because the Braves have never been in the playoffs or have not been in playoffs for a long time. It's possible the Braves might do better next year. But we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully, the Braves can do better than just being totally blown out by the Dodgers. And that's what I'm hoping, at the very least. Because, quick aside, I was watching the Brewers Rockies game, and I want the Brewers to win, but at the same time, I wanted the Rockies to come back and make it a game, and actually they did. They came back in the ninth, they tied it 2-2, and then the Brewers then finally won in the bottom of the 10th. That's the kind of game I wanted. You know, a close game that will grab your attention, make it suspenseful, but win in the end. That's what I wanted, and that's what I got. Now, would I want to arrange it like that? Not really. Because it can be heart attack invoking. But anyhow, onward and forward to the actual podcast and what we're here to go through, which is, I want to go through some of the new, actually I want to go through all of the minis, the new minis, or at least attempt to. Obviously, the IC have their new cruisers. You know, come on, let's be honest. Overall, the ISC, the ship, is boring. You know, I find it a bit boring, but that it is what it is. You know. Do I think that it overall shows off what, you know, the design aesthetic of the ISC? I do. I truly do. You know. But given the opportunity to redo the IC, I would like to redo the IC. I'm not exactly sure what I would do differently. Possibly what I would do is change the way the slits are in the front, and possibly round the front a little bit, or have a rounded front. would be rounded, or would I want it more like pointy, like almost a cone? You know, as I said, it remains true to the original cruiser, including, I think, the original lead. Not lead. What was it? Lead? The metal miniatures. You know, yeah, actually, it was lead. Part of that was lead. Most of it was lead, because they would remelt it down any flashings and things like that, so they could repurpose it. Which that's one of those great things about the old miniatures that were actually made out of metal. If there was anything wrong, you could just melt it down and reuse it. And the plastic, if you screw it up, throw it out. You can't really recycle this stuff, because this stuff is actually, it's 3D printed, is what it is. And of course, Light Cruiser is pretty close to the regular cruiser, but as you can see right here on the outer pylons, they're abbreviated. They don't have that little slit, meaning it doesn't have plasmas on it, which that's nice. Agreed, Dave. Dave's just mentioning how easy the IC ships are to paint. I would think that would be definitely the case. Though, obviously, there are certain things about them. I'm going to bring up the IC Destroyer. Now, give me the 3D model. Which is, okay, there it is. This. The back end here, obviously, on the actual wings themselves, here, not the pylons. I call them pylons because that's what they look like to me. That these guys, you know, you can actually do something with it. You can paint different colors here. And then, of course, also on the bottom here, you can paint different colors here. Now, would you? I don't know. That's all, totally up to you. Obviously, anyone who's done any painting when it comes... depends upon what you're trying to do. If you're trying to create something unique versus trying to stay true to the coloring guide, because I think A to B has coloring guides. I'm not sure if they have the coloring guides for the modern ones. I know previously with the metal ones, they actually had coloring guides. The idea to create miniatures that are as close as possible to what they really, quote unquote, really look like. But that's understandable. Okay. Now, we've got the mountain. I've got to say, these are weird. I like the Aztec-ing here. Let me show you the Aztec Lyran mountain lion. Oops, I forgot. It is quite a big... Okay, let me just do this. Let's switch this to inches because I understand in inches. It's 2.5 inches long. 2.4. It's 1.25 inches wide and 3/4 inch high. So that actually is... That's a pretty big miniature overall. Meaning that's like 2 inches... almost 2.5 inches long. That's a pretty long one. And the weird part about the Lyran mountain lion, it reminds me more of the Zinti ships than it does of the Lyran ships, because of how thick these pylons are. I'm used to Zinti ships having the little stubby wings on the sides, you know, here and here, and a back, warp nacelle. And that's why it kind of reminds me of a Zinni, which, Lord knows, any Larian said that their ship looked like a Zinni, they would probably rip out your throat. But, as a note, there's a note down here. Bitter enemies of the Zinni, Targuman 8 feet tall, the Lyrans were staunch allies of the Klingons, big surprise, and enemies of the Hydrants as well. And, of course, the Klingons were playing on that because they wanted to get rid of the Hydrants, and so they would invariably play that off and say, hey, you want eat some Hydrants? Hey, here, go at it. And they'd help them out. Supplying things. But anyway, so I kind of like the ship, but as I said, it reminds me more of a Zinni ship than a Lyran ship. You know? Let me go. What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up the Lyran ships real quick. Because here, these are the Lyran ships. You know, the Alley Cat, the Jag Panther, the Saber, which is a Tug. You know? See how the difference is? You know, they're used to having the Trimorans. Or even the Bimorans, if you guess it's call it catamaran when it's only two. Well, a Trimoran is three, maybe. But you know, as you can see here, how the Lyrans invariably look, you know, including the Wildcat. See how it has these, and it has the nacelles. On the back of this is a Wildcat battle cruiser that I'm looking at right now. If you look at it, you can see how you have back here, you got this and you got this. Compare that to the Dreadnought, which that was weird. You know? I'm not even sure if that's true to the original Lyran. I'm not sure if that's correct. You know. But if it isn't, we'll find out soon enough. Okay, this. And go back to here. Okay. This just looks weird. Which is the Tholian cargo, a patrol corvette with a pod. The only reason I say this looks weird in any way, shape, or form is that you've got this big pod. And this little bitty ship trying to drag the sucker around. At least that's why I imagine it, because it's so small. It's like, what, half? Like around half of the size of the pod itself. So it's like, okay, how is this actually working? How is it moving the pod around? I don't know. That would actually, to me, would be interesting. Overall, I'm pretty sure the Tholians had battle pods, because Lord knows, I don't know any of the empires that did not have a battle pod. The Klingons had a battle pod. The Lyrans had a battle pod. I know that the Federation had battle pods, meaning you know, ones that actually had weapons on them. What? That would be interesting, because I'm when it comes to turn mode of this sucker, I'm sure the turn mode really, really sucks. Now, the big question is, how fast can this guy go? Tactically, I can't imagine it actually being able to move that fast, because I don't remember. There's one thing I do not remember, since I don't play with pods that often, and that is. Yeah, exactly, Russ. Russ is saying the little Tholian that could. Which is about the way I feel about the way this looks. Now, is it true to the Tholians? I'm willing to bet, yes, it is. But if you just look at it, it is just weird overall. Now, I think one that looks more normal is this one. which is the Tholian Light Tactical Transport with POT, because the LTT is kind of interesting because of it kind of reminds me of a cruiser or even a destroyer, because a cruiser usually has like two of those Tholian PCs kind of connected at the hip, so they're side by side, while the destroyer is like overlapping each other. And that kind of reminds me of this, where the two are connected, actually one behind the other is what it is. And this, to me, looks what you would actually expect like transport to work. And actually, this would actually have enough power to move the pod at a relatively decent speed. So, I think that makes a heck of a lot more sense. Now, the Orions, yes. Now, these make, I like this one. They're showing a double Raider. Double Raider looks very much true to form. I'm looking at it and it's like, okay, this is what I would expect an actual double Raider to look like. You know, with one after, tied to the other, and it's welded together like side by side brothers. It makes sense and looks exactly the way I would expect it to look, which in my mind makes it really, really nice. It's true to form with the Orions. Now, where is it? This one. Now, the salvage cruiser, in my mind anyway, the funny thing is, I expect the salvage cruiser to be a little longer overall, but that's me. Now, a lot of this makes total sense, i.e. the extra warp nacelles on this, well, not extra, but the warp nacelles being on the sides, because that's where they're on for the salvage. Versus, all the rest of the ships, well, most of the other Orion ships where the nacelles are in the back. I'm just looking at this for a moment to see if... Okay, there. As long as the ship operated... Okay, its purpose was to serve as a mobile transport base for ships operating in an area without a formal pirate base. Basically, like a mobile base, for the most part. Though I'm sure Orion's actually had set up some mobile bases, because they were cheap and they could easily hide them. And of course, that means that they could easily abandon them, or they, as I said, since they were small, they could easily hide them. Ship repairs and maintains other ships, tows captured ships, acts as a base for raider groups, and salvages, loots, and captured ships. I don't see it mentioned here, but if I recall correctly, also the salvage cruiser, also could act as a PF tender. If I recall correctly, because I don't think that the Orions had, I think they used the salvage cruiser as a PF tender. Or, modified one as a PF tender. So, yep, the heavy cruiser is nice and large and as expected. It's consistent with the rest of the Orion miniatures. This is going to be annoying. Now, we got... Okay, this one is... Okay, this one I saw it. Oh, I bet you I know what it is. Okay, look at this. That's a female. I bet you. Ask him to see by the frill behind her head, the length of her tail and the dorsal ridge. This is an ancient female dragon as large as a male, ancient male. Okay. I think I know what the difference is. Just give me a sec here. I don't like the positioning of the dragon myself because it looks like reminds me of Godzilla. And, you know, how it's going to, it looks like she's going to stomp on somebody. It's what it looks like. And let me just look at the male because I think I was pretty sure I recognized. Yep, there it is. The big difference between the male and female. The male has horns. The female does not. You know, it actually has more of, as it mentioned, that the dorsal, the back here, you know, the kind of frill back here. As I see the large dorsal ridges above him, and the long horns on his head, this is an ancient male dragon. You know, these are the largest and most dangerous of the dragons, and also the most rare. Big surprise because of, to get that size, they have to be really, really old. That's why they're called ancient. Not sure how old they have to be to be this large, to be like the large ancients, how old that actually is considered in the number of years. But again, I don't like the stance myself when it comes to the stance of the dragon itself. Okay, these are the Gorns. Yeah, the battle destroyer, the Scouts. Again, I like the scales. I like the scales that they have on it. So it's kind of nice, you know. Actually, give me 3D because I think I see what. I'm going to verify why I see. Yep, there it is. Which is, you have 4 special sensors. You have one on each wing, here and here, one underneath there, and one right in front. So, I forget how much power a battle destroyer has because that's one of those things with the Andromedans, which they said that they're working for on the first quarter, I think. First quarter. I know they're working on the Andromedans, which will be awesome. I'm hoping to update the look of the Andromedans from what the current look is to be a little more modern. A little more sharp-edged, less rounded. But again, that's me. I like that kind of look. But you know, the big issue with the Andromedans, they have, is that the one that has 4 special sensors or just 2? I forget. But I think it actually has 4. And the thing is, it doesn't have enough power to actually power 4. That was interesting when I actually played. That's one thing I recognized immediately when I played with a scout with the Andromeda. I played an Andromeda encounter versus, I think, a Hydran-fed fleet. As if I had a chance. You know? You have the Hydran and you have the Feds. All you have to have the Hydran to fill up the panels, the Feds to knock it through, and boom, they're dead. Big surprise. But when it comes to Scouts, when they're that small, one of the things you had to do for it to have it so that you can use much power for the Scouts to use their channels is you... have basically the mothership tow it all around, just drag it around. That's all it does. It drags it around. You know, it works. You know, it allows the scout to have more power. Now, obviously, it slows down the mothership, which invariably you don't care. The idea is that the mothership should not be engaging in battle directly. At that point, the mothership is there, is also there to protect the scout. That's why you have it, because that means that the mothership can actually knock down drones, knock down plasmas, especially if you know it's plasma, then of course you're going to use PA mines. If you don't have PA mines, I was going to say you're a fool. But again, T-bombs can be really, really effective. PA mines are really nice to have around. The problem is, of course, in either of those cases, definitely PA mines. It's not a lot of times with T-bombs, because T-bombs, in theory, you can drop out the hatch, but how often do you do that? And that is that it has to use transporters. And, of course, what do you use transporters for on the mothership? To get your little babies, bring them back into the fold and keep them all nice and protected as they're repaired. And then you run away. You know? Moving onward. Of course, you have the Zinni War Destroyer. Nothing in my mind that's all that special about it. It remains true to the Zinni style of ships. Okay. And these are, fast attack cruiser, sort of fast attack shuttle killers. And okay, let's do this. Now, so basically, these are, I'm assuming by the title of it, that these are designed to kill other shuttles. In other words, they're superiority fighters. The large attack shuttle had only been of limited use despite the extensive weapons load due to the slower speed. Improved engines produced a large attack shuttle, which was far more useful. The large fast attack shuttle killer, shown here, improved weapons loadout, including 6 standard anti-ship drones, 2 of these, about 4 dogfighting, and 2 special drones. While gunboats were even more effective, no Empire could build enough anything, and double-sized fighters soldiered on throughout the general war. Okay. Cool. Okay, so let's close that. That's the one thing that always bugged me about the Zinnis and about fighters in general. When it comes to the drone empires, the ones that use drones, from the Federation to the Klingons to the Zinnis. Are there any ones? Well, the Wins, they really didn't have fighters. They bought them from other people. Those are three major ones. And that is, they can produce these little itty-bitty fighters, which are just freaking drone-launching platforms that can be controlled, versus scatter packs. Scatter packs were... everyone would like to know, who was the first captain to actually think up this idea? Now, I'm sure, as mentioned, I forget where it was mentioned. I think I actually mentioned in the rule book where it mentioned that, the quartermaster really got teed off when this was invented, because the captains would go through shuttles a heck of a lot quicker than normal. But, I mean, really, that gives those drone players a really heavy, large, in my mind, edge versus the plasma empires. Because a plasma empires, you only have plasma, and you know how tough it is to reload those plasmas? Even if you're just using the K, the plasma K, I think it's K, F. Okay, I think it was plasmic, the K's, which are the 10-pointers. Those suckers, no, sorry, I'm thinking the plasma D's. What I'm thinking, the plasma D's. Plasma D's are 10-pointers. Plasma K's, I think, are 5-pointers. The plasma D's, you still had to activate those suckers. So you're still using power to, quote-unquote, charge them. So, you know, that in my mind, that put the plasma empires at a severe disadvantage. I always thought things look weird, to be honest, guys. When it comes to the Klingons, like the E3 and the G2, they're just these little things that you kind of, it's like they took the big Klingon ships and they squished them. You know, it's almost like, makes it look like a toy ship. I understand it actually is a toy. I understand that. But, okay, thank you, Dave. I just checked back. Dave mentioned that, yes, Eel definitely has 4 sensors. And then he kitbashed one together. But, you know, like the E3 Escort, it just looks like they took the Klingon ships and just went, just kind of smooshed them. You know, a smaller neck, that the whole section is kind of squished together. To, you know, it's just one of those ones that you look at and go, yeah. here's the G2 for those of you watching. Doesn't look that much different from the E3. Big surprise. They're very small ships, and I'm not sure how you can actually define the difference between the two. Really. Weapon-wise, they're pretty darn close. And same for power-wise, they're pretty darn close. They're both very small ships. You know? And they got... Now, these are nice. Because I love this front part. It's kind of reminds me of an Arrowhead. But it is overall. Okay. Don't mind me. I'm sorry. Apologize. If you heard that ding, that was my Apple Watch, and I forgot to turn it off. Let me get the 3D model for this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, there it is. Okay. See, it's nice. I like that flat underneath. And then on top is that rounded head. I like that design. I really, really do. It makes it really sleek, really, really cool. And then you have the fast... You know, the plus, which are, these are the traditional ones. I think they look more like the old models, which is, you can see how it's like streamlined. Maybe it's just that I'm getting old, but, and I've gotten, and, okay. Masses are mentioning that the only I'm sorry. The only difference between the E3 and the G2 are drone launchers versus disruptors. Obviously, the E3 has disruptors, and the G2s only have drone launchers. Which, in my mind, actually kind of makes sense. Drone launchers don't use nearly much power, and disruptors. You know, versus disruptors. Now, this Roman fast like cruiser, you know, has the rounded, now streamlined. As I said, I might be just getting old. Where I've gotten to the point where I'm tired of that. You know, it's like every single car look so similar to one another. They're all like want to be streamlined and also just overall, you know, gas efficient and all that kind of thing. It's like, guys, the problem is that they've all started to look the same. So I guess that's why I don't quite like this as much as the other one, which I like a little bit. I like those hard corners, you know. Quick update when it comes to football. Patriots are now winning 24-3 early in the third quarter. Yikes. Ah, now this one. These look cool. I like these. These are the Warbs. In this case, that is the Heavy Destroyer for the Warb, which I liked. I think this is really cool. Because you have this flat cruiser, and then on top of that, you got this superstructure kind of thing on top. I don't know if the Warb, if those actually rotate or not. Lord knows. That would be actually interesting when it comes to the Kari. Spelled Iraq backwards. Where basically it was like it was supposed to be like a tank, a ship that basically was a tank where you had a turret which you could actually turn the weapons for. Matt saying, yeah, they can rotate. You just had to cut the support off. I mean, in the game, Matt, not necessarily the miniature itself. But yeah, I like these the warp ships. That's a neat design. That's a neat design. Let me go down here too. That's the Heavy Destroyer, the Heavy Cruiser. We're starting to get to the ones I really like. A larger ship, obviously, with, you know, they're mounted a little bit higher. My only question is, Matt, maybe you know this. Okay, cool. As I say, they do rotate. And that is my only question. I don't see this. Yeah, okay, no, actually it is. That's mentioned that the ship is available in a variety of materials. The turrets are attached to rods and placed above where they would go. The ships are unpainted and use standard and many sources while designed for gaming. Make fine display pieces. Big surprise. So, actually, that's one thing that I'm not 100% sure, Matt, you might know, which is, are those turrets, are they actually separate pieces that have to be put together, or is it all one piece when you get it? Because I can easily see that as separate pieces that you have to put together. You know, which of course, if it isn't, that would actually make it easier to make it as a turret and actually turn it in the game. Now, the only question is, would you actually want... Okay, let me look at the size of this. Switch the inches. Okay, it's... Matt says, yes and no. In order to do certain materials, we had to put the turrets attached to the main hull. Okay. And, of course, again, it's 2.5 inches long, one quarter inches wide, and almost a half inch tall. So you can, okay, as mentioned, so if you buy them, you can cut the support and set the turret into the negative space, which is a hexagon. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, I think I see what you're talking about, which is okay. Oops, didn't mean to, I wanted to do is this. Yeah, okay. That's cool. I see that. Let's see if I can. There it is. If we look at the screen, you can see that there's that negative space right there. That would be that actually that's cool. I really like that idea. I really like that idea. And let me. Okay. Oh, now. Cool. Cool. Matt just mentioned that he has a model coming to him, and then as soon as he gets it, it will get painted and he'll put it together, and then he'll post pictures of it. Good. Cool. Now, for those of you in the know, if you've been listening to me long enough, you know one of my favorite ships in the Romulan fleet is the Romulan King Eagle. Maybe because, I don't know. I was going to say that maybe it kind of reminds me of the original Star Trek series. And, but if you really think about it, that actually was a war eagle because it only had one big plasma torpedo that it would launch at the Enterprise. But I think, I like the King Eagle better because it has that one big plasma that has two smaller ones, the plasma Fs. So I think it's, I guess because I think it's more viable of a ship. And of course now they've got what's called the Romulan Screech Owl Heavy Scout, which has the four special sensors. And according to the description, let me just make sure I got this right. Yeah, it is. Okay. Design was intended to increase the effectiveness of the Scout Eagle by installing part of the King Eagle Command Cruiser upgrade. While the resulting ship was fast and better able to support combat operations with four special sensors, a fair amount of power, the Romulans decided not to go ahead with the series production, preferring the King Eagle with a flexible modular design, i.e., the more what's called the third generation. Third generation Romulan series. Okay. Thank you, Dave. Dave's just mentioning to me when it comes to Star Trek. It was not a war eagle. It was a war bird because it didn't have any warp engines, which is weird if you think about it, though. According to Starfleet Battles, the Warbird had warp, but it was strategic warp only, not tactical warp, and that was the big difference. Which always seemed weird to me because I'm pretty sure in the Warbird you don't see it represented anywhere that it actually had warp. Which of course the question is, how, if there was no warp power, how did you use strategic warp? You know, it's kind of one of those weird things. Big surprise. The Zinni heavy freighter, which is the behemoth. But again, I like this the way it looks because of, as I mentioned last month, with some of the Empire specific freighters, and that is, it's understandable that the ADB didn't want to create an SSD for every single kind of freighter. The freighters are freighter. When it comes to weaponry, there's only some minor differences in the weaponry, and that's done usually, with the chart and all. But when it comes to miniatures, the look of a freighter can be quite different because of, obviously, when it comes to a freighter, it should overall have the same design aesthetic as the Empire that it was created in, And that's one of the things I like about the miniatures. And as you get to see this, And because you can see with this freighter right here up front, that looks like the front of a Zinti ship. You know, so that, I think, that's why I like that freighter. And of course, the G7, which is a weird ship. The Gorn G7 Xinyang fighter. Yes, it's a fighter. And the reason why I even mention it, that it's a fighter, because if you look at it, this looks like a ordinary, everyday shuttle. That's what it looks like. But, you know, they obviously, I forget what the G7 fighter actually has. Obviously, it's not designed to be, let me look at this for a moment. Xinyang delivered free samples to the Gorn, notoriously short of fighter production, with the observation that unlike real fighters, a normal-sized Gorn could actually fit in an F-7. These were converted to G-7s with canister plasma torpedoes instead of drones. While some Gorns showed interest, the Gorn Navy decided to build real fighters and bought the assembly line of the failed G-12 fighter program. They did not adopt the G-7 for general use, but some were basically used for Gorn planets, and corporations bought them, i.e. they were used for local defense. So, that makes sense. That makes sense. Given that this looks like a shuttle, I'm assuming that it was not exactly maneuverable, you know, compared to other fighters. Especially if you look at this one, and yeah, I have a single Zinti large attack shuttle versus the previous one I showed, which was an actual string of them. Which, this is huge. It's 1.25 inches by like one, a little less than 1.25 inches by what? Like a third of an inch. Just trying to do some quick calculations here. So it's a fighter. But, you know, again, these larger ones are actually quite nice if you want to have them for display purposes, in my mind. You don't want to actually put these on the board. The ones on the board, you want the ones that are the string of fighters, which are like almost a whole squadron of fighters in that string. So they're smaller. So those are ones you actually would use on the board. And let me think. I think there was a few more. Right, these are the general scatter pack right here, which is nice. It's, you know, has all of the drones. Looks quite nice. Now, this, okay, the rest are from, now, okay, of course we have the Hydrogen Caravan battle tug. Stays true to the Hydrans. I like that it does stay true, and you have this big, like, pod. Well, that's what it is. It's called a pallet. That doesn't look like a pallet to me. That looks more like a pod. A pallet to me is a small thing that kind of just... do they have them here? Let me just look at this. Maybe it's because it's a battle pod. No. Because, oh, who was it? Oh, I'm thinking about what was the pallets that I saw. Yeah, I thought the Hydrans had pallets, which were basically small little things that you could actually attach to the bottom. I mean, they're really small. And then, of course, the big Neo-Tholian battleship with, you know, the collar here. And as you can see, it also has some, I'm assuming these are PFs that are attached to the battleship. That's not PFs. They probably are fighters. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're fighters in that case. Let's double check to see if they have, if they mentioned it here in the description. Bum, bum, bum. It carries 4 fighters, 6 gunboats, and okay, usual assortment. Bum, bum, bum. Yeah, it doesn't mention, actually, let me look at this again. 4 fighters. No, actually, I was correct the first time. Because I'm looking at this because you have 3 here, and I'm sure there's 3 on the other side too. So that means those are actually, those are gunboats. Those are PFs. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Matt. Matt just mentioning that on the back side here, those are PFs. Right here at the front of the battleship are actual fighters is where they are located. Right there. See? And I'll just pull it up a bit. Come on. You can see them here. You can see the PFs here. You can see the fighters here. Again, I like that. It's a nice ship. It's a one that you should grab for your collection. And of course, you have the classic war destroyer and the new modern. If you notice the big difference here is the classic. Just look at the lines that are here. Versus, whoops, this one, which is, the lines are a lot heavier and you can more easily see them. Obviously the classic, if you ever looked at a model of the original series, that's a little better, shows, you know, the light lines that went through that you could see on the saucer section, which I'm not sure what those are supposed to be. If those are like panels that were then welded together, or what those were meant to be, you know, overall. But anyhow, that goes through all of the ships for this month. The ones I liked, the ones I didn't like. Obviously, the ones I liked, the two, if I was going to say, there are two that are, you know, get them if you can. You should be able to get them. And that is, I think, the two that I really like are, one, the War Heavy Cruiser, and also the Romulan Screech Owl. Those are my two favorites. Coming up in third are the Zinti freighters. Because I really like those. Obviously, if you're a fighter fan, they're great there. I don't really like the Space Dragons just because of the positioning of the Space Dragons. That's my only That's the only thing. As I said, it makes them look like Godzilla, where they're going to be stomping on you. It's like, no, that's not what. I understand that they want a little different positioning versus the normal, you know, you have the wings outspread and they're almost like they're flying. But of course, that is my favorite sample. That's my favorite look for that. So that is what it is. And that's it for the Shapeways miniatures for this month. Quite a few nice ones came in this month. As I said, I liked the Warb and the Screech Owl. I want to say Screaming Owl is what I want to say. That's what I actually want to say. Because that makes more sense to me. Or even Screeching Owl seems to make more sense to me. It flows better. But it's called the Screech Owl, which I'm assuming there's actually an owl called the Screech Owl. But moving forward, I'm just going to, we have a little more time. And so what we're going to do is we're going to move on to the second topic. The second topic for this evening is actually I wanted to talk about the Starfleet Warlord aid. For those of you who play Starfleet Warlord, most of you, I have to say somewhere around 90%. Is that good? Is that pretty accurate? Yeah, it's pretty accurate. It might be 85. But it's close to 90%. Submit your orders electronically. That is, that you use the Starfleet Warlord aid in one of the main incarnations. We have the current version, which is a GUI-based one. It's quite nice. It doesn't have all the functionality. It has a lot of the... I think, in my mind, it has most of the functionality that you'd really want with the latest GUI version. That will actually... the latest GUI version will actually be updated very soon. But... that is one of some of the things that that people wanted was like a summarization that was available on the other DOS-based aid, which is completely text-based. You know, it's a console app for those of you who've ever worked in done Linux or even back in the days of DOS. Remember DOS, where you actually You install have DOS installed and ran one program at a time. What a concept. Actually, the funny part about that is that we're moving almost back to that to a certain degree. In that, we're, with our mobile devices, yes, we can switch back and forth between apps, but it's not like the current windowing operating system where you have multiple windows, but you can have them overlap. For iOS or even Android, they're always like you're working on one app at a time. Now you can you switch back and forth between apps? Yes, but on your screen there's usually just one app. Now, obviously, with the iPad and also iOS and Android tablets, they're trying to get moved towards more of you can do a split screen idea. So you can actually see multiple apps running at the same time. So you can go back and forth between two relatively quickly, which I think is a good idea. But moving on, the reason I'm bringing up is a couple things. Number one, I was working on this past weekend. I was working on the Starfleet Warlord aid and actually getting a lot of those orders that you enter into the aid to be valid, to fix the validation. Will this be perfect? No, it will not. Currently, I'm gonna do a review this upcoming weekend to see if there's any more I can implement quickly, because there's one which is what's called the message order, ME. And I looked at the code and I looked at that order and went, this is a really complicated order. Because there are lots of options. Obviously, I can do it. The question really holds true, which is, how many people really are concerned about getting that? Well, obviously, being complicated, they probably wanted to get it right. And more concerned about that than most of the other orders. And that's the whole idea, is to validate it as much as possible. But currently, I have it so the ME order, it says, as long as you do two things. When you start with ME, two, you actually have a message. You're good. Well, is that valid? Not necessarily. Which means most probably what I really, since if I actually say that this ME command is valid, I need to sit down and actually implement all of the rules of the ME order. Otherwise, people are going to enter the ME order. It's going to say, that's fine. And it's going to fail. And then, now we have another bug. So, given that, I'll probably, that's one of those ones, it's going to take me half an hour or more, probably maybe an hour to get that right. And that's including debugging it, because I know I'm going to have to debug the sucker. But a lot of them I've already gotten completed. Some of the more simpler ones, even including some of the orders which are not documented. Now, don't get upset. The reason why they're not documented in the rule book is because they are optional, i.e., they are only exposed when you get a special event. And with that special event, then you're told, oh, you can use this order now because you had this special event. Now, it's not documented in the rule book because any of the documentation for that you will get when you actually use that special, when you get that event, you know, and which is fine. Now, obviously, you got to make sure you get the order right, and that's one reason why I want to implement it in the aid so the aid can say, okay, well, this is correct or this is incorrect. Now, the one thing that I need to verify myself is there's one which looks like the engine itself thinks is invalid, which is using the getC command, getC on purchase order. And that one, it looks like it. I'm assuming that it's working fine because I haven't seen anyone actually complain that their orders didn't succeed. It's either ignored or it's processing it. I have not actually looked at the code. In which case, what I might have to do is modify the engine, because that's one thing I actually can do now. I'm feeling a little more confident that I actually can modify the engine and have it work and not actually break something. Just because of I've been using a newly compiled version of the Warlord engine, which uses Harbor, because it's based on Clipper. I compile it up using Harbor, and it works. And it seems like it's all working. Now, that was interesting. This past week, which I ran into an issue with the EG order. I've had a problem with the EG order for a while. It took me a while, but I finally realized what the solution was. Originally, a solution I thought was, modify the code. No. What you have to do is you have to go into the utility and modify the actual database. So it has these additional columns, which are required to support GIFs, which makes sense, because many years ago when I first took control of Starfleet Warlord from Agents of Gaming, i.e. Bruce Grawl, one thing that he mentioned was, you got to copy the files from here to here. You know, make sure you have the proper files. I thought it was just because it would automatically copy the rules. You know, what expert rules were set up. It's possible it was that, but also when it comes to standard games, actually the actual databases themselves are different. And they have these additional columns which support GIFs to other players. Because you can use the EG command, that's a gift. So you can gift another player Eeps, you can ORs, ORs, sorry. ORs, people, what's FP and 4, I can't remember off the top of my head. But you can gift them to people. And I said that's something that was actually happening in the standard game, which is cool. And previously I actually had to do it by hand. But now that I finally figured out, I understand the code enough, I actually can fix that, which is awesome. Because now I don't have to. Originally, when people were using the EG command, what I actually have to do is I have to send out emails saying, okay, you've been gifted this much money, or this much. Now I can actually have it so the actual engine does it, and I have to do nothing, which is all the better. The idea is that you want to automate things as much as possible. Which reminds me, I have to work on automating the warlord aid, the warlord process more. Because I'm realizing I'm still typing in way too much stuff. Execute this command, execute this command, execute this command. I really shouldn't have to do that. In some cases, what I want to do is actually upload the files to the website automatically. So that's not an extra process I need to do. So that should be good to go. When it comes to the aid itself, it's really nice, especially with additional functionality. But one thing I definitely have to do is I have to go in and recreate the tutorial videos I'm getting new players. And new players don't understand how to use the aid. And in that case, I need to do some tutorials. Just like for the SAP Online client, there is at least a few tutorials I need to work on. Number one, I need to work on a tutorial for the SAP Online client, SFU Online, sorry, client, is to how to use group selections. What does mean? Because I think if people knew that, I'm pretty sure people don't know what those F1, F2, F3, that selection buttons mean in the game control. They go, what is that? What is that? Well, that's for selecting, showing a group of selected, automatically selecting groups of pieces. The only time you usually do that is when you have like a scatter pack. Now, against a non-Andromeda, because with non-Andromeda, most probably what you're going to do is you're going to leave them as a group and have them all grouped together. An Andromeda, what you see people doing actually is to split up to like two here, two here, two here. The whole idea is that the one T-bomb that the Andromeda has, it won't kill all drones in one fell swoop. You can still kind of do it if you time it right. You actually can kill them all, because since the T-bombs are range one, if you time it perfectly, you can have it so that when all the drones move, they're within one hex of the T-bomb when it sets it off. It's doable. It's just like with Andromeda, the big thing about Andromedans is always managing your energy. You're constantly managing your energy. Actually, there was, when it comes to the SFU Online client, there's actually someone who wanted, I think it was Randy Blair, who wanted to see if there's a way of having it so that when you start a game, a normal game versus a tournament game, you would be prompted for the 20%. You could automatically do the calculating the 20%, and you can just enter in, okay, I want this, 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 and this, and then it'll automatically add it, and you'd be good to go. And actually, it would do the calculations for you, too. And I think that's quite doable, especially I would have you do is when you click Start EA. Either start EA or you can do it beforehand. I'm assuming you'd probably want to do it beforehand. But I can, yeah. That or when you click Start EA, the first thing it will do is it'll prompt you for that. I'm not sure which one would be better interface. I'll have to look into that. But anyhow, it is what it is. So I have to do some tutorials, and that's, hopefully I'll have some time this week to maybe create some tutorials. So I think with that, we're going to wrap up for this evening. We've had a wonderful night. We've talked about the latest Shapeways minis. And also, I've got to introduce you to the Starfleet Warlord Aid and some of the things that are happening in that neck of the woods, because I rarely talk about what's going on with Starfleet Warlord. And the Aid is one of those things that is definitely happening. And with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.